Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Tuesday, August 6th. Coming up in today's episode, External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar addresses Parliament over Sheikh Hasina situation. Tamil Nadu Waqf Board's strong opposition to the centre's plan to amend Waqf rules. Charge sheet against RJD Supremo Lalu Prasad Yadav and Santhi Chashvi Yadav in scam case. And as Sheikh Hasina seeks asylum in a foreign country, plans to form government in Bangladesh take shape. First up, the government is in close touch with nearly 19,000 Indian nationals, mostly students in Bangladesh, External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar told Parliament today. Mr. Jaishankar also said he expects Bangladesh to provide security to the Indian community that, quote, calls Dhaka and other parts of the country home. The country is in crisis following Sheikh Hasina's forced resignation last night, as violent protests over jobs quota has killed over 400 people and protesters stormed her palace. He also referred to a Monday evening address by Army Chief General Waqarul Zaman, in which he said, "I have met opposition leaders. We have decided to form an interim government." Mr. Jaishankar said, quote, "The situation in Bangladesh is still evolving. We are in close and continuous touch with the Indian community in Bangladesh through our diplomatic missions. There are an estimated 19,000 Indian nationals, of which about 9,000 are students. The bulk of the students returned in July," unquote. Before the address, Centre called for an all-party meeting to discuss the situation. Leader of the opposition in Lok Sabha, Rahul Gandhi, fielded three key questions to the External Affairs Minister. Mr. Gandhi asked about the government's short-term and long-term strategy in dealing with diplomatic ramifications of the power shift in Dhaka, sources have said. And according to the sources, Mr. Jaishankar said as the situation is still developing, the centre will analyse it closely so that it can fine-tune its next move. Then the Congress leader also asked if foreign powers could be involved, especially Pakistan, in the dramatic developments in Dhaka over the past few weeks, which ultimately led to Hasina's ouster, the source added. The centre replied to this that they are investigating this angle, and a source also pointed out that the government said a Pakistani diplomat has been constantly changing his social media display picture to reflect the situation in Bangladesh amid the protests. They're also probing to find out if this points to a bigger thing. Mr. Gandhi then asked if New Delhi had foreseen the dramatic turn of events in Bangladesh, to which Mr. Jaishankar said, "India is just monitoring the situation." Congress and other opposition parties have pledged their full support to the Narendra Modi government in handling of the neighbourhood crisis. In next, the Tamil Nadu Waqf Board has strongly opposed the centre's reported plan to amend the 1995 law governing Waqf Boards. The State Waqf Board chairperson, Abdul Rahman, termed the move as conspiracy and called it an attempt to destabilise Waqf properties. Waqf bodies are custodians of the properties donated by Muslim philanthropists for religious and charitable purposes. Around 10 lakh acres of these properties are looked after Waqf boards across the country. The Tamil Nadu Waqf Board manages around 1.8 lakh acres of land, and Mr. Rahman emphasized the proposed amendments would weaken the board's ability to protect these properties. Speaking with NDTV, Mr. Rahman said, and I quote, "There is no need for an amendment to the Waqf Act. The 2013 amendment had fixed the deficiencies of the Act. If powers are limited, we cannot claim encroachments of Waqf properties. We suspect the Bharatiya Janata Party aims to destabilize Waqf properties." He also dismissed reports that the Waqf Board is claiming Hindu-dominated village in Tamil Nadu and called it a propaganda. Meanwhile, sources told NDTV, on the allegations that revision of the Waqf laws is a ploy of the government to usurp Waqf land, that these allegations are completely wrong. The sources said, dangerous narrative is being built by certain Muslim clerics who are making vile statements that Muslim land will be taken away. In a statement yesterday, the All India Muslim Personal Law Board said, any change or alteration to Waqf Act will not be tolerated. A spokesperson of the board said, this issue will not be restricted to Muslims only. It is feared that next number may be the endowments of Sikhs or Christians, he said. The government is all set to bring a bill in Parliament to amend the law governing Waqf boards to ensure more accountability and transparency in their functioning. Sources said the move comes in the backdrop of demands from within the Muslim community. The bill will make it mandatory for Waqf boards to register their properties with district collectors to ensure their actual valuation. And next, the Enforcement Directorate has filed a 100-page-long supplementary charge sheet against ex-Railway Minister and ex-Bihar Chief Minister Lalu Prasad Yadav and his son Tejashwi Yadav, who's the former Deputy Chief Minister of Bihar, and 8 others in a Lands for Jobs scam. The charge sheet was filed before Special Judge Vishal Gogne, who posted the matter for consideration on August 13th. The ED's case is based on an FIR by the Central Bureau of Investigation in the matter. In its earlier charge sheet filed in January, ED named former Bihar Chief Minister Rabri Devi, along her daughters Missa Bharti, who is an MP, and Hima Yadav, as well as businessman Amit Katyal and former railway employee Hridayanand Chaudhary as accused. The ED initiated the probe in the case based on a CBI complaint, which alleged aspirants were allegedly told to transfer land as a bribe in return for jobs when Lalu Prasad Yadav was Railway Minister from 2004 to 2009. Lalu Prasad Yadav and his family members were also named as accused in the CBI's Criticate Offence case. The court granted them bail in the CBI case, saying they should not be arrested before the final charge sheet was filed. Breaking from breaking news, a Chinese woman's decision to remove her husband's life support after infidelity has sparked a heated online debate on Chinese social media. According to South China Morning Post, a 38-year-old man in northeastern China recently suffered a severe cerebral hemorrhage at his mistress's home. The man reportedly left his wife to live with his mistress while they were still married. However, when the man was admitted to the ICU, his wife was contacted for consent for surgery. She was nowhere to be found, but a second woman arrived at the hospital identifying herself as the patient's wife. She was briefed on the condition, explaining that the patient was in a coma with slim chances of revival. However, when asked for consent, the woman who claimed to be his wife said the man had broken her heart and her life apart, so she did not want to consent for his life-saving surgery and requested the doctors to remove his life-saving tracheal tube. However, many on Chinese social media have called her heartless for acting this way, while some commented, "If you treat your wife this way, this is what you can expect." Now, back to news. Bangladesh president dissolved parliament today, a key demand of student protesters who led demonstrations that ousted longtime ruler Sheikh Hasina, a statement read according to news agency AFP. The country's government faced a collapse yesterday after former Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina reportedly had to resign and flee with a 45-minute ultimatum. The army later said that they will help form the interim government. Meanwhile, her problems may not yet be over. British immigration rules do not allow individuals to travel to that country to seek asylum or temporary refuge, the UK Home Office told NDTV today. It is being speculated that Sheikh Hasina, who is right now in Delhi, will fly to London and claim sanctuary. The UK government, which is now headed by Sir Keir Starmer, after Labour's landslide win last month, also said individuals seeking asylum must do so in the first safe country they reach, which happens to be India. In her home country, Bangladeshi President Mohammad Shahabuddin late last evening chaired a crucial meeting to discuss the formation of a military-backed caretaker government. Army Chief General Waqarul Zaman, along with the head of the Navy and Air Force, with top leaders of several opposition parties such as BNP and Jamaat-e-Islami, attended the meeting. The student leaders who spearheaded the movement against job quotas, which eventually turned into a call for Ms. Hasina's resignation, have said they want a new interim government with Nobel Peace Laureate Muhammad Yunus as its chief advisor. Nahid Islam, one of the key coordinators of the students' movement in Bangladesh, said that Professor Yunus had agreed to take on this crucial responsibility at the call of the student community to save the country, local media reports said. The student protest, which started as an anti-reservation quota protest, eventually turned into a much larger political movement. And for the first time, in a win for renewable energy, wind and solar generated more electricity in the European Union than fossil fuels over a six-month period. According to a new analysis from think tank Ember, wind and solar grew to an all-time high of 30% of EU's electricity in the first half of 2024. The waning relevance of fossil fuels in EU grid came despite an increase in electricity use in the bloc, said Ember. But what does it all mean for emissions? According to the Center for Research on Energy and Clean Air, 2023 saw the steepest reduction in emission in the bloc's history. That trend is likely to accelerate as it needs to. A report by the European Environment Agency said, current policies would see the bloc fall short of its target to cut carbon emission by 55% this decade. It predicted emission cuts would be around 43%. That's all for today. Your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify, and the NDTV News app. This is your host, Anviti, signing off.